Hello everyone and welcome to this Masterclass Immersion Live School call.
Good day everyone. I'm really excited to be with you today and talk about some things that we've been thinking about lately and wanted to share with you.
In fact, we've been thinking a lot about spiritual partnership and how it can support us in creating authentic power. And what we want to talk to you about is how to experientially understand the difference between friendship and spiritual partnership, and how you can be creating authentic power, and how you can be creating spiritual partnerships, and how you can be interacting with the many friends that you've formed in your life, the many friendships.
The many friendships. Yes, that's right, beloved.
Yes, I think most people have many friends.
Right, that's true. I think so too. And I really love this idea. And when we were, one thing that really made me think about this is one of our retreats recently. We were talking about the Journey to the Soul retreat. We were talking about friendship and spiritual partnership, and it was really very helpful. And I wanted to let you know about some of the things that I was thinking about, because it was really, really helpful. And I understood that most of the time we think, well, either we're in a spiritual partnership or we're in a friendship, or we're in a marriage or we're in a spiritual partnership. But I don't feel it's that way at all. I feel that what it is when I'm creating authentic power, then my orientation is to be a spiritual partner with everyone that I have, whether I call them a friend or not. So it's so important to know that every relationship has the possibility and the potential of being a spiritual partnership. But the most important thing is your own orientation. So if your orientation is that you're creating authentic power and you're open to every relationship becoming a spiritual partnership, then everything changes in that relationship as you begin to interact with that person. For instance, if you see that you need to say something to be in your integrity, you have to decide, are you going to do that? Are you going to have the courage to say something, even though this is a friendship? Or maybe it is a spiritual partnership, but you still have to decide whether you're going to let the frightened parts of your personality take over that would please the person instead, that would push them away, would distance yourself from someone, would judge them. Instead, you say what you need to say. So that would be an example of having a friend that you need to say something to, and using the authentic power guidelines of courage to be able to say what you need to say, rather than let a frightened part of your personality decide how you're going to be in that relationship at that moment. As I said, to please them or to push them away, mm-hmm. or to blame them or to judge them. So those are some of the things I was thinking about, beloved, but there's much more we talked about.
Yeah, Linda and I have been looking carefully at many of the things that have been shared at our events. And often we hear people say things like, well, I have friendships, I have a lot of friends, mm-hmm. But when frightened parts of the personality become active, then we go into spiritual partnership mode. But when frightened parts of a personality aren't active, then we go back into friendship mode. But this is compartmentalizing what you're learning about friendship and what you're learning about, or what you know about friendship and what you can see about it through new eyes now, and what you're learning about spiritual partnership. When you are creating authentic power, you are always striving to be aware of your emotions. You're always striving to make responsible choices. And it doesn't matter whether you're with a spiritual partner or not. You're always behaving as though you're in a spiritual partnership when it comes to your own internal process. In other words, this is life in the Earth School as we become multisensory. Everything that we experience activates emotions in us. And we use emotional awareness, or you have the option to determine what is activated in you in the moment. If it's a frightened part of your personality, then there'll be painful physical sensations that you will experience in your chakra areas. And that is how you know that a frightened part of your personality is active, that fear is active in you, or when you're judging people or criticizing people, including yourself. And you know that if you act on those, you'll create painful consequences. And if you look in your chakra centers and you find good feeling experiences, then you know, or you're thinking in terms of gratitude or appreciation or patience, then you know that love is active in you. And when you act on that, you'll create constructive consequences in your life. Now, the power of spiritual partnership is that you have someone else to do this with in real time. That's what spiritual partners do. Now, does it mean, like Linda said, that you don't talk about the movie that you saw last night, that you don't talk about your children or your grandchildren, that you don't talk about your classmates? No, it doesn't mean any of those things. It means that you're creating authentic power. And as you do, as you're interacting with this person, a spiritual partner, and emotions become activated in you, you're striving to be aware of them and make responsible choices, just as you would at any time. But if you find a frightened part of your personality that's active, then you can share that with a spiritual partner because they're doing the same thing, your spiritual partner or spiritual partners.
Well, you know, I want to go back a little bit, beloved, because I was thinking about what you said about friendship. And many times people think they can't have a friendship and a spiritual partnership with someone. Or they think that they have a spiritual partnership, but then we go into friendship mode and we talk about, you know, just talk about fun things and talk about the movie and talk about the grandchildren, as Gary said, or whatever. But the thing is, it's about your orientation. It's about, you know, having a wonderful time. You have a wonderful time when you're in a spiritual partnership with someone. Gary and I have wonderful times together, and we don't talk only about if he's in a frightened part or if I'm in a frightened part. That's not what our life is like. We talk about whatever we need to talk about in the moment. And it's really wonderful because that way we can stay conscious all the time because our intention is to create authentic power. So our intention is to notice. It's mine to notice if I'm in a frightened part. And if Gary, if I think he may be in a frightened part, it's my intention to have compassion, to see that he doesn't see that, and also to say something to you, beloved, when I notice, so that we can support each other all the time. And so in other words, again, we're talking about orientation. Your orientation, if you are committed to creating authentic power, creating to grow spiritually, in other words, to create with love rather than fear, then all your relationships become possibilities of spiritual partnership. But your orientation can always be to be a spiritual partnership with someone. And you can use the authentic power guidelines. Sometimes we call them the spiritual partnership guidelines. It's really the same guidelines where you're committed to your spiritual growth, first thing, most important, and then what happens is and that's by noticing what's going on in your body, making responsible choices, seeing things in a new way that you really want to grow. And then you can have compassion for people. Well, first of all, let's say the courage guideline will come next, but it doesn't happen that way in an interaction. You don't know what you're going to be using or how it's going to happen, but when you're using courage, it means that you say something rather than let a frightened part of your personality push away what you notice or push away what you notice in yourself or someone else. Whether they're, in quote, your spiritual partner, you have an agreement with them, it doesn't matter. It's really about you doing that all the time. And then having compassion for yourself and for others when frightened parts come up so that you can begin to have compassion and begin to say things in a loving way when you notice something. And of course, the last part of the guidelines is consciously communicating with other people. And so in that, you're using your intuition, you're looking at your intention, and you're saying things from the healthiest part of you that you can. That's something you would do in every relationship. And then when you do that, when you live like that, then you draw people who want to be spiritual partners with you, because they really see that that's a possibility. So in other words, instead of compartmentalizing your spiritual growth or your possibility of having spiritual partners, you're doing that all the time. And Gary and I wanted to let you know that today because it's so important. So beloved, I'm just wondering what else we wanted to say about that, if you had anything.
Look at it this way. Here you are. You're becoming multisensory. That's why you resonate with the concepts. For example, in the seat of the soul. That's why you're beginning to sense yourself as more than a body and a mind. And all of those things that we've talked about that constitute or that provide the richness of multisensory perception. Or the richnesses of that multisensory perception provides. So you have people that you interact with. Some of them you know, some of them you don't know. Some of them you know well, you call friends. Some of them you've created consciously spiritual partnerships with, for example, at the Journey to the Soul or in the Masterclass Immersion. Or you've done it on your own because you've read Spiritual Partnership and you know how to do that. So what is the difference now between you, who have this new multisensory perception that you're allowing to come into you, that you have this new understanding of power, that you're experimenting with yourself to see if it actually works or not, aligning your personality with your soul, with you who are experiencing your different emotions as parts of your personality rather than as experiences of the ground of your being so that you can challenge them. So now when you're interacting with friends, you don't have to see their friends and the people that you know are spiritual partners. You can simply say that spiritual partners are those people who already know about creating authentic power, or they know about emotional awareness, however they discovered it, or they want to become more aware and responsible. And you can talk to them in those terms. Friends are accustomed to interacting frightened parts to frightened parts. So, if, for example, your pet dies, or a parent dies, bigger deal by far, and you tell a friend, your friend might say something like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, you have my sympathies. You have my condolences," and they'll send you condolence cards, and they'll be sad with you for a while. But you know, because you're creating authentic power, that that's not really the support that you're giving yourself, but it's what they feel from a frightened part of their personality is what they want to say to you. And they don't even know about something called a frightened part of their personalities. They just know they want to try to make you feel better. That's about as far as you can go with friends, unless you have a friend that you really want to connect with more deeply, that you want to have a more meaningful relationship with. And then you might say to that friend, "Well, I look at it in a different way. I'm not really looking at this as a loss or something to grieve. I'm looking at the life of my parent as in a celebratory way. I'm really appreciating everything that this soul has brought into my life, this soul that I'm calling mom or this soul that I've been calling dad. And I don't feel that the death of this parent is actually the death of the love and the connection and all of the value and power that came into my life because of my interactions with this parent. I'm looking at it as interactions with this soul that was my parent." And from that perspective, it's only a personality that has died. The soul didn't return to ashes and dust. It never was ashes and dust. The soul always existed before, beyond the Earth School, before and beyond my personality. That's how I look at it. And so it's okay with me if you celebrate the life of my parent with me. And you don't have to imagine that I'm grieving. And sometimes I do grieve, if that's what you're really experiencing. But you can explain that I know, that you know, that this is a part of your personality that comes from fear. That fear is that it's lost something that it can't ever regain, that fears it can't live without what it thinks it's lost. But when I'm not in that part of my personality, I don't think that at all, and I don't feel that at all. And that's why when I recognize a part of my personality that I know comes from fear, like the experiences of grief and loss, I don't just curl up in them and stay in bed and cry and moan and mourn. I move my attention. I reach to, I reach for the healthiest parts of my personality that I can, the parts that are grateful for what has happened to me, the parts that are appreciative, the parts that know that every experience I have is meaningful, including this one.
So beloved, you mean that, I'm just making sure I understand. So in other words, you may, obviously, you experience, you may feel the pain of powerlessness when someone leaves your life that's important to you, or an animal leaves your life that's important to you. You may feel very strong frightened parts come up and you feel so much pain. That could very well happen and usually does happen. However, it really depends on how long you want that to go on.
Well, what it depends on is if you recognize where that experience comes from.
That's true.
And if you decide to use it to empower yourself rather than disempower yourself.
Mm.
It depends on whether you recognize a frightened part of your personality as a frightened part of your personality and then share that good news with a friend. As you begin to share that good news with a friend, if that friend resonates, if that friend says, I never thought about it that way, that's interesting. Have you always done this? Or tell me more. Then you have the opening to a spiritual partnership. That's one thing. The other is, if you see something in a friend that you recognize as a frightened part of your personality, well, they don't understand frightened and loving parts of the personality yet.
If you see something in a friend that is a frightened part of their personality?
Yes, a frightened part of your friend's personality.
Okay.
Well, then you don't necessarily assume the freedom that you have with a spiritual partner to say, I think that might have come from fear.
Mm.
Or, I think that might have come from love. Mm-hmm. Or, what are you feeling? Would you mind exploring this for a minute? What are you feeling? What are you thinking? Those are the things you can share with a spiritual partner out of love, because you know that they're in pain, which means you think they're in pain, which, if they are, you know comes from a frightened part of their personality, and that they can most benefit themselves by recognizing it and challenging it rather than getting your sympathy and caretaking. With a friend who doesn't understand any of this, then you need to begin to share out of love what you know without attachment to the outcome.
You mean share about what you see in them? Is that what you're saying? Or ask them permission to see if that's okay?
They might not understand if you say you want permission to do something. You might say...
I didn't mean you say, can I have your permission? You can say, I think I noticed something. Would you mind if I talk about it? I think I noticed something in you. Do you think it would be okay if we talk about this? If it's appropriate timing.
Yes. Even that could be threatening to a frightened part of the personality. You might consider beginning even more gently with something like, would you be open to looking at this in a different way? Would you be?
Yeah.
Well, a friend might have just said something, that contractor, he's such a creep, a jerk. This is what he promised me. My kitchen still isn't finished yet, and I hate it when people are so, and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you might say something like, well, I understand. Would you be open to looking at this in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say there isn't a different way, and no, I'm not, so be it.
But you can still have compassion for them, knowing that they're in a frightened part of their personality that they may not be open to looking at.
Well, the compassion is why you are asking them, if they're open to seeing their experience in a new way. And if they are, well, then you can begin to share with them the new way that you've learned.
Well, you'll know if it's a compassion too, because if you're attached to them listening to you, listening to what you have to
good
say,
point.
Then you know that that may be a frightened, that is a frightened part of you that wants to change them. So
exactly.
That's, it's always something to really look at. But I think, you know, as we were talking, I was thinking about how what I really wanted to say is that orientation, if you're creating authentic power and you think you don't have spiritual partners, or you don't have very many, or you don't know how to get them, it's more that you have an orientation of being a spiritual partner to someone. And what I mean by that is looking at them as a soul and looking at them as someone who would want to create authentic power, would want to grow spiritually, but they may be controlled by their fear right now. And so you always have that orientation that you're talking to another soul, whether they're in a really strongly controlled by frightened parts or not. It's really looking at it that way and then opening yourself by using the guidelines and seeing what is it that I could say. Like, I really like your gentle way of saying it, not, you know, just saying, would you be open to a different perspective? I think it's such a good way to speak to someone when you notice something. And if you're not attached, then maybe another time you'll be able to do that again.
And there's no formula. For example, you have a history with your friend, so you might, your intuition could give you an entry, a gentle entry. If your friend is complaining about something, you might say, do you remember that time a year ago when you and I were together and something happened, and you know that what you're going to relate to them is going to open them up a little bit toward what you are thinking about suggesting, that they look inside themselves instead of looking outside themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Then use that. Use whatever your imagination or your memory provides you, and your intuition directs you to in your memory or your experience, to begin the interaction with a friend that you would like to have a more meaningful and relevant relationship with.
So that if that's your intention with everyone, to have a more meaningful and rich relationship with them, without attachment to the outcome, then the way that you are with everyone in your everyday life all the time is going to be so different with that intention. And then you'll see what happens from that. So we really wanted to share that with you because we feel that people often compartmentalize. You might even call a friend, and rather than a spiritual partner. It doesn't really matter. It's more important your orientation, your intention.
Authentic power yourself.
That's right.
And
that's
the intention
right.
You have. We had compartmentalization can become very radical. We had a beautiful woman in one of our programs once who finally said, I don't think I want to do this because I don't want spiritual partners. I want my friends. My friends know me. My friends and I are in the church together. My friends and I share the things that are important to us. And she didn't realize that she could make those relationships, her friendships, even deeper and more meaningful. But only if she is committed to transforming herself, to looking at the pain of fear inside herself, and choosing to move beyond it. That's what gives you the internal authority to look at life differently, because you will be looking at life differently. And here's something else, too, that I'd like to mention, that as you become authentically powerful, you begin naturally to look for spiritual partners, because you'll recognize friends as those people with whom you enjoy doing all the things you've done, watching movies, talking about children, shopping, being on projects together. But you'll recognize them as friends when they refuse to go to places that are too tender or painful or difficult for them to approach. They won't do it. They're not interested because the frightened parts of their personality are not interested, and in fact will not go there, and they are not aware of those parts of those experiences is coming from frightened parts. And you'll still love them. You'll even have more compassion for them than you could have before, because you'll see the pain that they're experiencing from the frightened parts of their personality, and you'll see that they're choosing not even to look at a possible way of seeing what they can do about that pain, namely moving beyond it, beyond the control of it. But that doesn't mean that you don't love them any longer, or that your compassion isn't as deep or deeper than it ever has been. But here's an interesting thing. As you develop more and more spiritual partnerships in your life, you'll find that they are the ones that you're naturally gravitating toward, because they're the ones that are genuinely supportive of you. And so eventually, as you change, as you don't caretake, for example, that here's a good example, as you don't caretake as you once did in your life.
I think it might be important to say what that means, beloved, because...
Caretaking means when you are really concerned about someone else's health or happiness or well-being, and your intention is not the benefit of that person. Your intention is to make yourself feel better because your friends feel bad, your friend feels bad, and you feel bad while your friend feels bad. And you want to feel better, so you try to make your friend feel better. If this is familiar to any of you,
that's called caretaking. Yeah.
And it's different from caregiving.
Right.
The difference is the intention. The intention is caregiving. The intention in caregiving is solely to support another individual without attachment to the outcome. When you caregive, you often wind up talking about authentic power. When you caretake, you try to do whatever you can to make your friend feel better, which means make the frightened parts of their personalities feel better.
So the frightened part of my personality when I caretake wants to make that person feel better, so that frightened part of me will feel better.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's the differences in intention. And so I use this as an example. As you become authentically powerful, you begin to challenge those parts of your personality that caretake, don't caregive. And this might be difficult at first to explain to a person because they might say, but my intention is to make the other person feel better because they feel that. But if the other person doesn't accept their caretaking, if the other person says, I just don't want to hear that right now, or I don't like what you're saying, and you feel a disappointment or an anger or a rejection, then you know you had a second agenda, and that's how you can discover caretaking in yourself.
Yeah. So, and that's a big topic.
It is a big topic, yeah. And we'll make that the topic of an entire call, and we have in the past. But the point is, as you become authentically powerful and you challenge the part of yourself, if you have one, that caretakes, the friends in your life who depend on your caretaking them, who have grown accustomed to your caretaking them, who expect that from you, are going to be disappointed because you're not there to say, oh, that must hurt a lot. I'm so sorry. Oh my goodness, not your dog, not the one that was 14 years old. Oh, that, etc.
Well, what would you say to me if you were caregiving? So say the difference, how it's different.
Well, I might say, oh, I understand. That sounds very painful. Would you, if it's a friend, mm-hmm. I would say, would you be open to looking at this in a different way? If it's a spiritual partner, I'd say perhaps.
But how can I look at it in a different way? My dog just died.
Yes, that's the openness to the conversation. Then you begin to explain a different way that you can look at it.
And what would that be? Just give me an example of what would that
say,
would
well,
be.
The way I look at it, my personality has a lot of different parts. Some of them are joyful and some of them are really not. Mm. And when I'm in one that's really not, I begin to look at that and explore it. What does it feel like in me? What are its thoughts? And when I do this enough, I can recognize that part of me when it comes. And then I can challenge it. And this is what that means. I recognize I don't have to let it control me. I can recognize it as a part of my personality, not as who I am. And I can explore what gratitude would look like, even while this part of my personality is feeling loss and grief. Now, this is hypothetical. This is just, if a friend said, well, what is the different way that I could look at this? This is a way that you could share.
Or you could even do it even more simply if you don't think they'd be interested in looking at the parts of themselves. Maybe you could do something like, from my perspective, when my animal died, I wanted to begin to look at what he brought into my life, the joy he brought into my life
or
every
my
day.
Or my parent.
Or my parent. You know, how they brought me into the earth, their souls, and it was time for them to go home. You know, something that's that really gives it orientation from a loving part of the personality rather than a frightened part.
Now that's an interaction with a friend. An interaction with a spiritual partner, you know, is already more direct and clean and powerful. You can say, well, I think you may be in a frightened part of your personality, even if it's obvious, but that would be a gentle way of saying it. Or you could say, oh, where are you feeling? What you're feeling in your chest? Where are you feeling? Are you feeling anything in your throat or your solar plexus? In other words, you can step directly into being a spiritual partner and supporting your spiritual partner in creating authentic power. Because spiritual partners are different from friends in this way, this fundamental way. Spiritual partners know that they have souls. They know that they are together for a reason, and they know that that reason has to do with their souls. And that opens up new dimensions of interaction and intimacy. And that is what you can explore with a spiritual partner.
But what I'm really excited about, beloved, is to talk to everyone about their experiences with friendships and spiritual partnerships and seeing if they can see how they could, if they have already gone into changing that in themselves or not, or with their friends that become spiritual partners, and to remember that it's really your orientation with every person that you interact with every day. Your orientation can be to create authentic power yourself, no matter what's going on, and open yourself to the possibility of how you can interact differently with people you might call your friends or acquaintances or people that you see on the street. So it's really that orientation of the possibility of that orientation of being a spiritual partner to someone in some way, even if it's only energetic. So that's really what we wanted to talk about today, and I'm excited to be here with you now.
Indeed.
And yes.
So it's been a delight to be with you. If you feel open, please consider some of the things that you've heard and begin to experiment with them as you interact with your friends. So now we're going to join you for a live question and answer. And I'm so looking forward to hearing what questions this talk might have brought up in you.
Indeed.
So if you'll call in now, if you're not already on the conference call, and we'll be joining you in just a moment or so.